God in human flesh reveals God. One of the principal reasons God took on our nature is to reveal in human form what God looks like. And it looks like love. And John's gospel loves to say that it's all about love. Anyone who loves abides in God and God in them. This indwelling of God, our going into God and God coming into us, it happens specifically, according to John, through love and the experience of love and the expression of love. And of course, Jesus reveals that most powerfully on the cross. He says in the gospel this morning, "There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that's exactly what the Son does in human form. He lays down his life. He's revealing the triune God, and all three of those persons are laying down their lives for the other two and receiving back that same self-offering. That it's all about self-offering. But it's also about vulnerability, isn't it? The only way real union happens, real relationship, is that I let down my defenses, my protective guard, and I allow you in. And that's a kind of a risky place to go. When people fall in love, they fall off this cliff in which all their protections and their guard is let down, and they really allow that other person in. They allow their true self to show. And then real union happens. God comes into our human flesh and lets down any divine protection that there may have ever been. Actually, there never was. But he shows us in human form what it looks like to let go of the self-protection and allow us to crucify him. You know, there's some strange irony there that God, the author of everything and the ruler of everything, puts himself at the hands of sinners and allows them to crucify him. Talk about letting down your guard, making yourself vulnerable. God makes himself vulnerable to us. And he shows by that who God really is, that God is love. God is the one who does that. That's how God acts within the Trinity. But he is also revealing us to ourselves. He's revealing what it looks like to be fully human. Because to be fully human is to be living in that union with God for which we were always intended. To be fully human is to be like God. To lay down our lives, to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to allow real relationship among ourselves, one and another, nation and nation, church and church, tribe and tribe, individual and individual, family. Real relationship always happens when there is a dying. And that's why in the Christian life, we practice self-denial. We practice self-offering. We, every Sunday at Mass, we remember. We do this in remembrance of him. We remember what he did for us, that he revealed God by laying down his life on the cross. And he made himself vulnerable to us so that we might be in union with him, so that we might be one with him as he and the Father are one. We remember all of that, but we also join ourselves to it. That memory gives us the courage to make ourselves available, vulnerable. This is a sacrament, of course. It reveals God, and it reveals our relationship with God and with one another. And sacraments are always celebrated in advance of the reality. So we celebrate baptism in infancy. Does the child know what he or she is doing? No, of course not. But the presumption is that the grace of God, the Spirit of God breathed into that child in infancy will grow into an awareness. And the full reality will come later. When people marry, they often marry with very little knowledge of what it means to be married. If we were going to wait until they really understand, we'd wait till the 50th anniversary. No, we do it at the beginning with the presumption that grace is going to help them grow into what that means. Well, it's the same thing with Eucharist. We're always, every Sunday and even every day, we're doing Eucharist in advance of the fullness of that reality. Because at any given time, most of us don't really know what we're doing here. And we're too scared to really lay down our lives. We're too scared to emulate Christ the way we should. But the presumption is that this sacrament of Eucharist is done in advance of the full reality. That's why we celebrate the kingdom, the realized kingdom that is sometime in the distant future when all will be one in Christ. But we're celebrating that already this morning here at the altar. We celebrate sacraments in advance of the full reality. That's what gives us the courage to lay down our lives on the altar along with Christ. That's what gives us the courage to be Christ to one another and to the world. That's what gives us the courage and the resolve and the grace to go out there and be Christ to the world. We live in the tension between the already and the not yet of the kingdom. It has already been ushered in Christ. Christ has already revealed what love looks like. He has already revealed who God is and who we are. It's all in Christ. There is no further revelation to be expected. And yet, it hasn't fully been assimilated in most of us. We're still waiting. We're still locked in time. We're still affected by sin. We still breathe in a sinful world. And so we struggle to live up to that reality. And yet, we live in the hope that despite our weaknesses, despite our fears and our sin, God is acting mysteriously under everything all the time, that Christ is assuming everything under his feet, that everything is becoming part of the mystical body of Christ even as we speak, even in ways that we will never understand until the kingdom. And we celebrate all of that reality, the already and the not yet, the past and the future, all at this altar this morning.